It is wonderful to be in the Lord's house tonight, and what a blessing it is to hear that good singing. Amen. Hear about someone getting saved this week. That really is what it's all about. That's what this life is for. It's a preparation place, and I just tell you, it feels good to be here. I've been looking forward to this ever since last week when started studying these next few verses in our study in Jonah. And you could be turning to the first chapter if you will, and I'll just say a few words before we get started. I don't intend to be long, but I do want to be thorough tonight. I think it's better to get to the point as quick as you can and just stay there as long as the Lord wants you to, and then go on and let Him have His way with it. And this study has been a real blessing to me already. I know a couple of weeks ago when we started, it was more, I think, just some background history to it, but I want to really get into the meat and potatoes a little bit more tonight. There's a lot in the book of Jonah that you can pull from. If you remember, Dr. Freed was saying that a lot of times this is still a book that the Jewish people read, and I thought that was interesting, and I wanted to study a little bit more about that. Why Jonah? Why not some of the other books? But again, I think you can see, I mentioned this last time, I think you'll be able to see some resemblance of the 144,000 that will be sealed. It's a really interesting book. It's touched my heart. I told Brandy when I was studying it, you know, a lot of times you can study the Word of God and you know it's true. It can speak to your heart. And then you can say, that's good, that helps me or helps somebody. And then there's other times that you read the Word of God and it just captures you. It can stop you in your tracks and really make you think. And that's what these verses have done for me the last little bit, this last week. And it's just, I don't know, it's kind of life-changing, I guess you could say. And that's what the Word of God is supposed to be for us, if we'll let it. And I believe, I noticed Brother Tim kind of, notice, I feel a little hot now that you mentioned. I didn't realize it at first. I was out working, brother. That's what happens, you know. Well, if you spend the first day in the office and the second day outside without a hat. But I feel that right there. So maybe it'll sink in pretty good. But one question I want to ask you, and if you saw my post earlier this morning, one question I want to ask you is, has the Lord ever intervened in your life and you know that it was Him? Not talking about just circumstances, you know, circumstances happen in life, but has there been something in your life that you can look back and you can say, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that was the Lord intervening in my life? Church, I thought a lot about that, and you know, thank the Lord, I can recall many different circumstances. I started off some of the obvious, Sister Kathy, some of the obvious things that kind of wake me up or makes me think about and everything. And then as I'll go on, it's like, you know, there's more and there's more. And Josh came downstairs before we came to church, and I asked him that question, and he said yes. And I asked him if he'd be willing to share that tonight, and he said, no, that'll just be for us. I said, that's fine. But Brandy said, Josh, that's deep. I tell you, if you will slow down and really, really think about how God has done things in your life, and place things in certain places that you know it was Him, and nobody else could do that, it'll stop you in your tracks sometimes. And say, that was God. Brother Allen, that was God that did that. God did that for me. I really want us to see that in this lesson here tonight. And I want that to be on your mind as you're going through this tonight, as we go through this together. It's kind of the way the Lord laid it out to me is, thinking about this, this is real in Jonah's life. We touched on this. Some people want to say that's a fish tale or what have you, and that the star, the whole thing is the big whale, the big fish, but that's just the circumstance of the matter. That's how God chose to do it. God chooses different fish in our life. God chooses different vessels to protect us or to guide us in our life. And it just so happened in this one, it was a whale for Jonah. That's just how it is. But the two main characters in this book is God Himself and then Jonah. That's the two parts that we see here and what Jonah was called to do. I know we give him a hard time about running, and last week we talked about that. He was being sent to an evil place, an evil group of people who hated his people. It's easy to be in the flesh, or would be, or could be. And then you would be able to say, I don't want this to be right. I don't want to see these people saved, or I don't want to see these people helped, because they hate me and they'll hurt me if I go there. Now you think about the 144,000 that will be sealed. It is only by the grace of God that they can go and do what they're supposed to do. You think about the tribulation period and what they will be going through, and they're going to share the gospel during that time. You know how hard that's going to be? Had those days not been shortened, all flesh would have been consumed off the earth. Paraphrasing right there, but that's how dangerous it's going to be. It's hard enough in this day and age sometimes to go to certain places where you know the gospel needs to be heard, but it's hard enough to go to your own place and wonder if people are really consuming it and taking it in and really focusing on what that it means to be saved, what the gospel is all about. You can get into a situation in life or face things in life. Maybe things don't go the way that you want them to go. And it'd be easy to walk away from the Lord. Brother Tim said something Sunday morning, and brother, I've thought about this a whole lot. And I've tried to, you know, really, it kind of come together with this lesson. Brother Tim was talking about how sometimes in life, when we face hard things or bad things, one of our first inclinations is to walk away from God. And you might not think that. You might think, I don't do that when hard times come or when things happen. You know, I try to go toward the Lord. I try to go to Him. And that's what we should do. But a lot of times, question mark starts going off in our heads and it affects our hearts. And we say, well, Lord, why? Why did you allow this to happen? It's almost like we blame Him for people's decisions or whatever it may be. We blame Him for circumstances when it's not His fault. Lord, why? Why? And it'd be easy to walk away from Him. Brother, I found myself this morning just praying, and then was walking. And brother, I was praying. I said, Lord, this is me walking to You. I don't want to ever walk away from You. You know, there's times the Lord protects us in ways that we cannot see. We wouldn't feel it as protection. We wouldn't see it that way. But that's exactly what He's doing, and that's how He works. I think sometimes He shows us things without actually coming out and popping us on the head and telling us. Sometimes He lets it sink in a little while. I was talking there a few minutes ago with Brother Nathan. You know, sometimes you work with people or deal with people. If you tell them they need to do something, they don't really want to do that. It's almost like, well, I don't want to do it because you're telling me to do it, you know. And I've even heard Josh say, you know, Mom, give me a chance to do it before you tell me to do it. But, you know, there's some people, it's got to be their idea. Plainly put, I've worked with people that way. It's like, it was a running joke years and years ago. We had a supervisor, and it was one of those things. If you had a good idea and you presented it to them, they would shoot it down every single time. Ain't going to happen. But man, it's a good idea. This will work. And they even knew it would work. But you know what? It wasn't their idea. And there's times that you could spend with them. You could talk to them a little bit. And I've watched people do it and say, you know, the other day when you said this, man, that was a good idea. They never said that. Man, that was a good idea. They're like, yeah, it was pretty good, wasn't it? I'm glad I thought of that. Next thing you know, it's going through. It was their idea. You know, this right here, it was never, never, never Jonah's idea to go to Nineveh. It was never his idea. It was never his plan. You look back and you'll see a lot of comparisons between Jonah and even the Apostle Paul. Did you know it was never the Apostle Paul's in his plan to go to the Gentiles? That was never his plan. But it's hard to kick against the pricks. You see, he wasn't put in a well, but it was hard for him to kick against the pricks. You know, it's amazing how God can, how He can drive us, how He can push us, and how He can maneuver us, and it's not like we even see that it's Him. But a lot of times it's Him. He gives us the power of choice, and sometimes He can make things harder on us or use things that we don't see. And I think, Lord willing, you can see that in these verses here tonight. You know, we make things a lot harder sometimes than what they should be. Sometimes we've learned, to pray for a burden or have a burden for people. And I've heard it said, I've got a burden for this group of people, or I have a burden for our young people, I have a burden for this. And then it's like it doesn't come to be, but it's almost like we're looking for somebody else to do it. If God has given you a burden, He's expecting you to do that. I'll just go ahead and tell you. That's why He gave you the burden and not somebody else. That's how it works. It's really hard to do the Lord's work without a burden, because I don't believe people will follow through as sincerely as they're supposed to without a burden. You can't go into the work of the Lord half-hearted. You just can't do that. He wants you all in. I'm afraid a lot of times what I see in this day and time, whatever reason it may be, I see a lot of people, I think, that are just kind of half-hearted, one foot in and one foot out. I'll do this if it's convenient, but I won't if it's not. That's not for the gospel's sake. Jesus was all in. He expects us to be all in. You'll see here how he works in Jonah's life. We'll read the verses, we'll pray, and we'll go into it tonight. But we see here Jonah has already left. He's heading toward Tarshish. He's left, and now he's on the boat. And this is where we start this morning, or this afternoon. It says here, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God," lowercase g, these were not Christian people, "every man cried unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the side of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, 'What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God.'" They recognize him as "thy God," capital G there. "If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." And they said, "Every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lots fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou?" And he said unto them, "I'm an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the wonderful singing that we've had tonight. Lord, I thank you for everyone that's here. God, I pray your blessing upon them. God, I pray your blessing upon their life, and help them, Lord, with whatever they're facing, with whatever it is that they're going through, Lord. I know so many things going on in families and in hearts and lives, at work, at school. There's just, life can be difficult at times, and just trying to navigate through things and figure things out, God. But I'm so thankful for your Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful for your presence, Lord, how you can guide us and show us things, Lord, and teach us. And God, I pray that you help our hearts tonight. Lord, we need it. Lord, I need it tonight. I thank you for this lesson. I thank you for what you've already shown me, God. And I just pray that you give it to the church, Lord, like you've given it to me. Lord, I just pray you use me tonight. I'm just the vessel for you, God. And we just thank you so much for all that you do for us. And God, I pray for our lost here in the church and those listening in. God, I pray that you touch their hearts, God, and help them see their need before it's too late. Lord, I know you're coming back soon, and tomorrow is not promised, God. And I just pray that you be with us. Help us, Lord. Give us the burden we should have for the lost and those round about us. And Lord, show us how to help others the way you would have us to, God. Help us to do what you would have us to do for our church and our community. Lord, ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. For a few minutes, I want to preach on the topic of wake up. Wake up. I know that could be an easy title to get excited about and kind of proclaim or what have you, but that's what they were trying to get Jonah to do in the midst of everything that was going on. I was reading this and I was like, how in the world could somebody sleep during a time like this? All that's going on in Jonah's life at this time, how could he sleep through that? And the Lord laid it on my heart. He showed me, he said, how in the world can people sleep through what we're going through today? It's happening. That's why there's going to be a falling away. People are not going to be paying attention. They're going to fall asleep, and they're not going to appreciate what they have, and they're going to miss out on things and sleep through things. But we're going to see some things here tonight, and the way that Jonah, or the way the Lord in Jonah's life was giving some divine intervention. You know, the Lord could have done this any way he wanted to. He could have wrecked that ship. He could have allowed it to where Jonah never got on that boat or anything like that, but he allowed him to go so far. I want you to know the Lord is merciful. He's very merciful. He's been merciful to me. I would have done, had I not been me and saw what I was doing and somebody else, I would have given up on me, Brother Allen, a long time ago. I'd say, that one's not worth it. He's never going to listen. Too hard-headed, too stubborn, too fleshly, too weak. He's not going to listen. But you know what? The older I get, the more I learn and realize we're all that way. God had mercy on all of us. We're all that way. There's no big ones and little ones. We're all equal in the sight of the Lord, and I believe that with all my heart, and we all need him explicitly. But we see here where this came from and how the Lord was guiding Jonah in this circumstance. It said, but the Lord, that's how this starts out. It didn't say there was a great storm that occurred or something like that. This was a storm that was directly given and sent by the Lord himself. If you look up what it says here, sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, that the ship was like to be broken. Now you know that there was at least one, I believe only one is recorded on the boat, that would be categorized as one of God's, and that's Jonah. Everybody else that you see there, they're crying out to lowercase gods later on, so we know there's at least one believer on the boat, and that's it. That's it. And you see what he's talking about here also, if you look and you study about the wind in the Bible, the wind is a type of the Holy Spirit. Now, isn't that interesting? That's kind of a neat thing there. You know, you see, if you will slow down and look for the Lord in things, sooner or later you'll see him. He could have smacked it down, and he could have put a wave, and he could have capsized the boat. He could have done all kinds of things. He could have sunk the boat, all kinds of things, but he chose a mighty wind. Isn't that something? John 3:8, it says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. If you're saved tonight and you're truly saved and you start going down a path you're not supposed to be going down, I promise you the Lord will send a wind your way. I promise you that. He don't want you to go down a wrong path. He don't want to see that for anybody. Now, he might not come out and just strike you dead. He might not just come out and wreck your boat, but I promise you he'll get your attention if you're one of his. Have you ever had that happen, talking about that divine intervention? I've probably shared this before. This is something that came to my heart. It's one thing that jumps out at me. I appreciate and listen to what Brandy and Josh had to share, and I want you to think about your case or your circumstances in life. But when I was younger, I remember a time I was running around with my buddies, and I wasn't in the will of God. What Jonah is doing here was not in the will of God. He wasn't where he was supposed to be, and he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. But he was still one of God's. Amen. Wasn't where he was supposed to be. And I remember one night running around with my friends. We're going to meet up and go to a place and all this kind of stuff, a place I shouldn't go. But that night was different. That night was completely different to me. I said, I got to fill up, and as soon as I fill up, I'll meet you there. Thank the Lord I was by myself, because that gave me some alone time with God. I wouldn't say by myself physically. Spiritually, he's right there with me. And I was heading to a place I knew I shouldn't be going to, and the Lord was saying, go home. Now, I didn't say audibly. I didn't hear him here, but he was loud and clear in here. Very clear. He said, go home. Go home. Go home. Church, I was afraid to get back in my car and go home. I was scared to death. I don't know. I didn't know what was going to happen. I never felt like that. It's not about emotions. But if the Lord wants to get your attention, he can and he will. He said to go home. I don't know. I don't know what would have happened. I can't really forecast that or tell you. I don't know. But I don't know that I'd be here tonight. It was that real to me. That's how the Lord can get our attention sometimes. That was his divine intervention. I see that here all in the book of Jonah. But the Lord sent the wind. He sent that power, and his power, he moved Jonah's heart in a different direction. He moved the path of Jonah in a different direction. And we'll see this here, how this is. This is almost an outside looking in situation. Hadn't really got into the heart of Jonah just yet, but you're seeing how Jonah's life, who he was affecting non-believers. And it wasn't in a good way. It wasn't in a positive way. We'll see that. It caused me to think about my life, my impact on the gospel. What am I doing for the Lord? Am I awake or am I asleep at the pulpit? I don't want to do that. Am I awake? Are you awake tonight? Think about it. What do you do on a daily basis that would lead somebody to Christ? What are you doing on a daily basis that would lead somebody away from Christ? Think about that question too. Are we awake? You see these mariners, the people he jumped on the boat with, it said then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. Now what a sight that would be. And Jonah was asleep and he wasn't seeing that. You think about the prophets of Baal. Boy, they put on a show. They were screaming, they were yelling, they were jumping, they were cutting themselves. And guess what happened? Nothing. I mean, you're screaming out to the air for nothing. There's only one God. Only one. Anything, anybody else or anything else that you would pretend to cry out to, it's in vain. It's in vain. It's worthless. That's what these men were doing. They're scared to death. They're out in the middle of the ocean. I've never been deep sea fishing or anything like that, so I can't say that I would know what it would feel like, but I've been on the end of a fishing pier and watched the waves come in a little rough, and I didn't like that. That was enough for me. You see a couple of planks missing, you have to step over them, that's enough for me. I can't swim good. I wouldn't want to be out in that situation. But you see, the mariners were afraid. They cried every man unto his God and cast forth the waters that were the ship, or cast forth the wares. They were throwing things over the ship to make the ship lighter. Heavy ship would be tossed a lot easier side to side and may be able to crash a whole lot easier. They're ready to get rid of things. They're ready to get rid of things in their life. They were trying to get everything off the boat that would cause them to crash. It would do good if we would do the same thing. A lot of things in our lives that shouldn't be there, we complicate things ourselves. They were trying to save the boat and in turn save their life, but Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. How could you sleep during something like that? How? I'd be scared to death. I couldn't. Physically, his body had to be moving around. I mean, again, I've never been on a boat like that. I've been on a little ferry ride. It was pretty smooth, nothing like this whatsoever. But you think about what they had then, I guarantee you it wasn't some big fancy boat. It's probably an old wooden boat. Nothing too secure to be in. But Jonah crawled down to the bottom of it and he was asleep. I put a lot of thought into that verse. Think about the cause of Christ and what that means to you and me. They were all in the same place. The one that knew the Lord, admittedly, and all the others who did not, they were in the same place together. But you know the one thing that Jonah had that they didn't have? You'll say, the Lord. Well, that's part of it. But you know, Jonah knew what he had in the Lord. They didn't. They didn't know what it was like to be saved. They didn't know what it was like to have what Jonah had. See, Jonah knew in his heart one of two things. He knew, look, I know why I'm running. I know I have the Lord. And that's all that matters. You think about how we live our lives sometimes. I know I'm going to go about, I'm going to do my thing, whatever it is. I'm saved, I have the Lord, and I don't have to worry about anybody else. You need to be worried about other people. How we live our lives affect everybody around us. Every single day you say, yeah, I've heard that, but it's the truth. I've seen people talk about going out and getting drunk and partying, and the next breath try to witness to somebody. You know how fruitless that is? Ain't worth a dime. It's not worth a dime. I've seen that many times. People live a reckless life, a sinful life, and then try to turn around and make it out like everything's just okay, and it's not okay. See, these men that Jonah was on the boat with, they didn't know. They thought they were going to die. You think about the lost people around us. They're going to die. If they don't get saved, they're going to die, and they're going to go to hell. It's that simple. But does that affect us anymore? Do we think about that anymore? Does that burden us anymore? Think about the lost people in our lives. You think about the lost people that we work with, the lost people we go to school with. Does that even affect us anymore? Inside the church or outside the church? See, Jonah had a one-track mind. He said, I've got to get away from this group. I don't want to see God save this group. I'm on the run. See, Jonah knew why he was running. He was the only one that knew the cause of this storm. He was the only one. These other people didn't know it. You think about the tribulation period. You imagine what that's going to be like. People who haven't heard the gospel maybe, or haven't heard about what is taking place here and how this is going to be, and they're trying to figure everything out, but you've got 144,000 that's sealed and they're the ones that's supposed to go out and tell everybody else. In that type of world and environment, hey, the Lord's coming back. In that time, and you're talking about a 7-year period there, you've kind of got an end point at that time. If you look at it, you follow the Bible, and what it says, 7 years is 7 years. You see what it's saying. Try to talk to people about the Lord now, and they say, well, your life is no better than mine. Why should I listen to you? If you're okay, I'm okay. We're living the same life. I'm as good as you are. That's how it is with people. They see how we act, and they respond to that. See, Jonah, he could go down in the boat. I think maybe, I don't know, I wasn't there. But I think Jonah would rather die than go to those people. I think he had kind of got to that point. I don't want to see you save them. I don't want to see that. He didn't have a burden for those people. He didn't want that. He was the one that knew the why. And how could anybody sleep during a time like that? Well, he knew he was okay. And he didn't care about anybody else. He was trying to get away from Nineveh, trying to get away from them and the evil that they would do there. We see here in verse number 6, you're trying to get him to wake up. Wake up, wake up, wake up. It's amazing how the Lord uses people here. You see how he sent out the great wind. It was going to cause the ship to wreck. Everybody started getting concerned. Jonah was asleep, but you get to verse number 6, the shipmaster came to him. He started looking throughout the boat, the ship, and he was saying, okay, let's investigate this and see what's going on. They had an inclination that this storm had something to do with him, somebody on the boat. Isn't that interesting? And interesting how they could pinpoint that and not think it was just a bad storm, but they come down to Jonah, the one that was asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. What meanest thou, O sleeper? He's saying, wake up. I believe that's what the Lord is telling us in these scriptures here tonight. He's telling us to wake up. What do you mean you're asleep? What do you mean you're not burdened? How can you not have a burden for your family and other people in your community? What do you mean by this, old sleeper? How not? How could you not have a burden? I believe that with all my heart. And he's saying here, call upon your God. The unbelieving is asking the believing to call upon his God. That's bad. That's bad times. That's a bad testimony is what that is. When people around, Christian people, can identify how bad something is and they see the Christian people not having a burden, that's bad. That's a bad time. See, call upon your God. We've tried everything we can do, and it's not working. It's fruitless. It's not meaning anything. Nothing is changing. Call upon your God. Wake up and call upon your God is what he's saying here. Now, it's interesting here in verse number 7 how they determine things out. This was common in the Old Testament, how they would determine things. And I've heard about this even in other things and how people would try to find something out. They used it, I believe, in Leviticus. Different places maybe you'd see it in the Bible, but I've heard it, had it explained to me how this kind of works as far as casting lots go. It said, and they said every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots and the lot fell upon Jonah. So how this works, you might already know, but how this works, my understanding of it is you would have a bag or a container or a box or what have you, and you'd have a bunch of rocks in it, a bunch of stones in it. And probably, I don't know the colors, I get the way I've heard it explained to me, let's say you have a white rock for almost everybody in here, then you'd have one black rock. And so everybody reach in the bag and they pull one out and say, whoo, it's not me, got the white rock. Well, when you pull out that black rock, that's the one who the lot falls upon. That's how that works. You see here, out of all the people on the boat, don't know how many, but out of all those, Jonah was the one. He was the one that pulled out that lot. That's how they knew that. And I was thinking about this in verse number 7. They were wanting to know who was at fault. Now, you think about this. I'm telling you, this is how the Lord gave it to me. It's amazing how if you want to change, if you want to see things change, you got to start with number 1 first. I want to tell you that. Until you're where you're supposed to be, you can't really help get somebody else where they're supposed to be. I promise you that. Lord can do what he wants to, but he wants us all to be right with him. And I was thinking about our church. I was thinking about our family. I was thinking about our community. And you know what we do a lot of times when that bag is going around? They're looking to say, well, it's not me. It's not me. I'm not the problem. It's this one that's the problem. It's that one that's the problem. It's somebody else, but it's not me. But everybody's nervous and while they're putting their hand in the bag to pull out the rock. You know, so many, they pull it out. You'd say the first few pull it out and say, whoo, told you it wasn't me. See here, Brother Bill, it's a white rock. It wasn't me. It's one of you guys. It's not me. I believe that's what it was like. They wanted to know who the problem was. But you know, I think a lot of times what we're not willing to do is examine ourselves before God to realize that maybe we are part of the problem. What if I'm part of the problem? What if I'm the problem? What if you are the problem tonight? You think about things in your home, maybe it's not exactly how you want it to be, or at work, or whatever it is, but you've had this time that you just think it's somebody else's is the problem. But what if it's you tonight? Have you examined yourself to see if it's you? Are you willing to do something about it? Are you just going to say, it's not me? It's not me. One thing I meant to say here in verse number 6 also, it's something that the Lord really laid on my heart. You're thinking about how the shipmaster came to him and he said, here, call upon thy God. Brother Allen, the Holy Spirit made it clear in my heart that Jonah's God is my God. Thy God is my God. You know how powerful that is? That's where the power is at. You want to change something in your life? Call upon thy God. Call upon my God. I tell you, that's powerful there. But we see from verse number 7 how he goes on and they cast the lots and it falls upon Jonah and they've identified him. Trying to figure out who this guy is. Where did he come from? Why is he the problem? What's going on here? And they're very inquisitive. They want to know the why. People are like that. They want to know the why. I want to identify the problem, fix the problem, do something about it. And you see they're pretty convinced that they're going to do something here. But you see in verse number 8, there's a lot of questions that's being asked. I find this very interesting. It says here, then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. And this is the questions that they're going to investigate Jonah with. It says, what is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? That's the questions that were asked. You know, I thought about that myself, Sister Marilyn. If somebody came to me and said, who are you? Who are you? Oh, my goodness. I mean, how would you answer it? If somebody asked you tonight, who are you? What would you say? It depends, I think, a lot of times on probably the group that I'm around. I'd probably try to find maybe some kind of association. If it was a younger group, I might say, I'm Josh's dad. I'm known as that sometimes now. I'm Brandy's husband. It might be something like that. Or how would you answer that question tonight? I think there's a lot in those questions if you answer them. I believe that. I think a lot of times it would depend on the state of where you are in life at that moment. You know, I mean, this is what the Lord gave me. I don't know that you'd say this. You know, I don't know that you'd proclaim your Christianity if you was in the middle of a liquor store and you say, oh, I'm a member at Mountaindale Baptist Church. And this, I don't think people would do that. Do you? I don't know why the Lord just said put that in there. But think about it. Think about this. What would you respond? I think it might be where you're at in life. What if you were out of the will of God? Would you say, I'm a member at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and this is how I live? And would you say that if you're outside the will of God? No, you'd probably say maybe where you work, something like that, something safe, something generic, something like that. But you see here, what is very surprising to me under the circumstances is how Jonah responds here. He could have responded in many different ways, but I ask you tonight, who are you? This should cause us to reflect on our testimony and how we live day to day. Are we living in such a way that we would start off with that or we would not start off with that? We see how Jonah responds here, and very interesting to me. And he says, and he said unto them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven. Isn't that a weird thing to put in? I mean, isn't that kind of weird to put in there? I mean, we're on the front end of what happens in the book of Jonah, but why did he put that in there? Why did he say that? I'm asking seriously when I say that. I am in Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. He's making a strong proclamation of who his God is. Well, that sounds great, doesn't it? That sounds wonderful. I mean, that's a great response. I wish I could think of something like that the next time somebody asks me who I am. I'm a Christian, I'm a pastor, and I go to this church and we win souls for the Lord. Boy, that'd be great. Wouldn't that be awesome? But look where he was at. That's what gets me here. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? Why have you done this? Why are you here? Why are you in the liquor store? Why are you here? Why are you out here causing this trouble? Why are you out here saying these things? Why are you out here doing these things? If this is how you're introducing yourself to us, they are exceedingly afraid. Why hast thou done this? Tell us why. Then why are you running? If that's honestly how you feel, Jonah, if that's how you believe, then why are you on this boat heading to Tarshish? Why are you not on the way to Nineveh? You see, I think to me, the way I read that, I was like, Lord, what am I doing for the cause of Christ? What am I doing? Am I doing enough? Am I doing anything? Think about how we live. We get comfortable. I get comfortable. I'm just going to say me. I get comfortable thinking that maybe preaching from the pulpit is enough, but the lost world's out there, and they're not all watching Facebook. They're not. You can throw the net out, but I don't think we're catching a lot of people on Facebooks. You know, the average viewer, I'm going to say this. I looked up the insights and the analytics. You know, the average viewer, Brother Terry, on Facebook, you know how long they watch? You ever look that up? 2 to 3 seconds. Boy, 500 views is awesome, and boy, that's awesome. Well, about 2 to 3 seconds each. Think about that. Think about the false positives in life. I'm just going to throw that out there. The fish are out there. The people we need to catch are out there. And I'm only one. It does. It takes all of us. You see how Jonah here, what he's saying. He's proclaiming one thing with his mouth, and he's doing something completely different with his testimony. And we've all been guilty of that. Where's our burden at tonight? Are we awake? He's saying here, wake up. I'm telling you, the Lord told me when I was studying this, he's saying, wake up, Jason. It's time to pay attention. This thing is winding down, and there's people in our own church that's lost. Not just out there somewhere. Right here in our church. Our young people need help. Our lost people need help. He was saying one thing with his mouth, and he was doing a completely different thing with his actions. It says, for the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. He said, if you believe what you're saying, then why are you doing this? Think about that tonight. Think about the life that you're living. Think about the life that we're living. And are we doing anything for the Lord? Are we saying one thing? Are we trying to feel good about things and just trying to make ourselves feel better? Are we actually doing something for the Lord? Does our words and our actions match up? I'll close with this here in verse number 11 here. Again, we see the divine intervention. It keeps getting better. Jonah's still in the boat. He's still in the protection here. And he said, then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. Well, we know that you're the problem. Now, how do we fix it? That's where they're at. That's where they get to. You know, I thought about this too, being that Brother Freed made reference to this book. You know, that's kind of the way the world looks this morning at the Jewish nation, the Jewish people. They're wanting to throw them over the boat. I'm just being honest with you. That's God's chosen people. That's who they're identifying or will. You see how these nations, I wish I could recall and remember how it was, but these different nations now are coming forward and proclaiming Palestine as a state. That's in direct opposition of the Bible and what God has promised to Israel. That's direct opposition. But you know, the devil has a way of putting a spin on things and making it seem like one thing, making people feel good that they're doing something right when it's an absolute disobedience and direct opposite teaching of what the Bible says. But that's where we're at in this world. That's where we've been. You know, you look at the last 20 to 40 years, it's a completely different world than it was then. completely different world. The amazing thing, the beautiful thing about it is, if you follow the Bible and what it teaches, you can see every bit of it. You can see it coming to pass. You can trust in God's word. You can trust it. You can stake it all on this. I want you to know that tonight. You can. It's proven itself to me time and time again. And it's. I just tell you, that's where we need to have our focus, our focal point on tonight. I'm going to stop there. Thank God for his word. Thinking about that all week. I just held my Bible this week and just thanking God for it. You imagine if you wasn't here tonight, you wouldn't have heard this. I'm not saying that I said anything, but it's God's word. It'll help you if you'll apply it. I promise you that. If you read it and you don't do anything with it, you'll know it. But your actions will say something else. Your mouth will say one thing, but your actions will say something else. You have to apply it to make it real. And I tell you, I thank God for his intervention in my life. When he intervenes in our life, it's not to hurt us. It's to help us and direct us in the path that he wants us to go. It can feel awkward. I promise you, with Jonah, he knew the why, but I don't think he knew to the extent God was going to take him, the adventure he was going to go on to get him to turn back to where he needed to be. That's the same thing with every single one of us. You look at your life, if you ever got out of the will of God and the Lord brought you back, I tell you, it'd make you think about a lot of things. But I'll stop there tonight.